Starmap.
Yeah, I need to say something. The world is a terribly emotional place, and you don't see it much. There's people in their offices, and they're in, you know, they have their job persona on, or they have their student persona on, or they have their graduate student persona on. And lately, about the last week, all it has been for me, NSMU, is emotion of one kind or another. Fill in the details. I have people come by who, all of a sudden, for some reason, I'm the person people come to ask things of. Okay, I have a student in my class, and she's a real fundamentalist believer, and she's having shit. Listen, what do I do with her? Tell her faith is stupid. I can't do that. You know, and then I go through the difference between public and private persona, what a dumb idea is that, and that. You know, so there's all that, you know, and then there's all this other stuff, and then, you know, my students get their first paperback today, and they come, and they just, you know, why are you treating us so badly? You can just see, I mean, you can see some of them are really, they're just crushed.
Join the club, girl.
I know, I'm not complaining, I'm just saying, the world is an emotional damn place, and it makes you tired, you know, especially if you start to buy it.
You know? Well, it makes you tired if you ever try to do it in your own strength.
If you buy it, if you say, yeah, well, maybe I am a dick. Maybe I should be nicer. Did I say that right? Maybe I should try to be kinder. So you start going, well, no, I can't do that. So, there. I had to get that out.
You are a dick.
Well, I know that. Sometimes I cover that better than do it other times.
We're going to try to... To take one last look at the serpent and then go on to this mystery guy, Ophiuchus, and the stars. Everybody got the star map? Find the serpent. Find Ophiuchus. What? I can't find Ophiuchus.
Turn it so the writing is on the bottom.
There's all kinds of writing.
He's got the scorpion.
The table there is. It's
oh, the table, this little magnitude stuff.
Then go to the center of the bottom.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
It's the first person in the list.
Just below the scorpion.
Now, just as a 2-second summary, this is the first time in this constellation, the scorpion and the snake, that they appear. The others. Didn't have up till now. They didn't have anything to do with this. So from now on, we see scorpions, we see snakes, we see cetuses, we see all these weird creatures, creepy crawly things running around. Now, the physical creatures that are portrayed in this star map are not different things. Like, I mean, there's only two people in the stars. The seed of woman and the seed of the serpent. That's all that's there. You understand that? There's only two people on the face of the earth. The seed of woman and the seed of serpent. That's all there is. There's nothing else. Now, you first have to see that all these little creatures and these sneaky, crawly, creepy thingies are disguising them. They're the snake disguising themselves as all those little things. Right? There's some really ugly ones. I can't wait till we get to see this, because that's hairy.
Jabba.
But more important to you is that you have to see that all of those things are just the serpent trying to disguise himself as the different forms of you. And in every case, you'll see the victory has been completed. So you are a disguise. That's an awesome thing to say. You are a masquerade. You have been since you were born. You've been taught, that's all you've ever been taught, is how to masquerade. You have been taught nothing else.
That makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a bit.
Yeah.
Is that like a phony?
Yeah, but it's not phony from the standards that you're in. That's all you know to do. That's why I hate sincerity, because it's just a sincere phony. Am I communicating to you? You got that bottom line? All of these little creatures are simply another attempt at masquerading, and they're simply so, they're determinants. Again, this is language. It shows you another aspect of you. We're going to see all kinds. We're going to see many-headed monsters. We're going to see little snake thingies. We're going to see snakes and scorpions and sea monsters and, you know, on and on and on and on. Big, long snakes, hounds of hell, all kinds of weird stuff. But what we're going to see is victory. It doesn't do any good to look at this as you've read the Bible in the past. This isn't history. This is what's going on tonight, the stars in you. Amen? Now, the serpent is the symbol throughout the scriptures. He's called the evil spirit, the evil one, the dragon, the old serpent, the devil, Satan, the Antichrist, on and on and on. His only function has been to deceive the whole world. But to us, he's simply the opposer who's been defeated. But you can't know that as long as you keep you in the picture. That's why Jesus said the first requirement to be his disciple is to abandon yourself. You got it? All right. Now, the doctrine of a Savior, what?
I'm just listening to the baby and enjoying the noises she's making.
Well, the doctrine of a Savior necessarily implies, most of you, all your life, even if you were in church, you never really believed in the devil. I mean, let's be honest.
That's true.
I
thought I did after I saw The Exorcist.
I knew I did after I saw The Exorcist. But that's what that I didn't before that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I had to believe in the devil first.
But you understand that a belief in a Savior, in order to believe in a Savior, you have to believe in the one that's opposite from a Savior. Otherwise, there's nothing to save you from. This is where the theories of dialectic materialism come from. This is where communism comes from. Communism is a dialectic that defines an arena in which you take advantage of that tension. Many times you create. Do any of you ever read the Tolstoy's or Karl Marx? It's not just, you know, our simplistic ideas of what communism is are, you know, some evil empire or something. Well, it's just a revelation of what it's. Because of the structure of the mind, there's only, because man is inherently evil, any attempts to set up a utopia in any governmental system have always failed. You know, there have been hundreds and thousands of attempts, and sometimes in history we, especially the history professors who are a little naive, they teach you about the golden age or the long lost years or the golden years of Greece and the wonderfulness of this or that. It wasn't wonderful. It was screwed up. But in order to have a society to express itself so that there isn't chaos, you have to go, in one sense, either one or two. You have to go totally totalitarian, and the only way you can go totalitarian is that you have to hang the carrot in front of them of utopia, or you go totally democracy, but you set up a system that protects the citizens from themselves and under law. You know, I mean, there's no way that law has ever been. A system has ever been designed that appreciated the goodness of man. But that's not the way it works, no matter what kind of rhetoric you hear. You got that?
Yeah.
Now, this sounds like very boring and very bad political science, but it's all that political science is a manner of dealing with what we're about. Now, as long as you don't know that you are fallen, then you will create for yourself a utopia. Whether that's a utopia in relationships, or a utopia in financial structure, or a utopia in imagery or ideas or anything. If you don't know you're fallen, then all you can do is chase a god.
You create possible utopia.
Right, right.
Oh. But you mean you make one. You'll try to make one.
You'll try to make one. And you will base your life on a projection of yourself into that utopia. Now, some of you are still doing that.
Boy, that's so true. And do anything to defend it.
Oh yeah, you'll do all, you'll start wars to defend it.
And alter reality to defend it.
You'll attempt to alter reality depending on your power. Do you understand me?
Partially. I'm not sure I understand the last part.
If you don't know that you are fallen, i.e. without redeeming value, then you will ascribe, instead of ascribing these things that happen to you as the sufferings of Christ, you will ascribe them to anything else. And your life will be based on a hope of a condition that's different than the one that now is. And it will never, again, and that's all that idolatry is. It's that which prevents you from being here, wherever here is.
Yeah. So utopia could be like your family, or a job, or a political...
Or a wife, or a change in your status, or... It's all possible if-onlys.
And it can also be past or future.
Right. But it's anything other than now. And it's the revelation of the one lie of the Antichrist. Because, again, if you think of Jesus Christ as the desired one, then the Antichrist will confess that he has come in the flesh, i.e., you want to go back to some imagined utopia that you had in the past, or that he is come in the flesh, some imagined utopia that you're going to have in the future, but it's only the Spirit of God that confesses that Jesus is come in the You see how total this thing is?
And this is what you were talking about when you said we always wish, we always believe things will get better.
Right.
You just said is when you meant will.
What?
You said he is. When you were talking about the future, you meant to say will come.
Okay. Well, what I'm saying is that scripture in 1 John 4 defines life. That's why you can't pay an attention to any... Go there and see it from a different way. 1 John 4, 1.
Right, that's interesting, because I was reading Hegel's dialectic stuff, and it is, it's just this point counterpoint applied to politics. Mm-hmm. Fascinating, when you said that at all, it just clicked. Now I kind of want to read it, mm-hmm. But I don't really.
Hey, I'm really glad you lost your
passport. Me too.
I really am.
I have no opinion.
Now we need to get
moving.
Yes,
no, we
Why?
Need
to do something, but it's kind of scary.
Okay, listen to me. 1 John 4. Everybody find it?
1 John 4:1.
Did you find it?
It's really weird to say something.
Beloved, believe not every spirit. Now, he's using the word spirit here in its broadest sense. And the spirit is, I mean, you got to understand that from God's standpoint, and from our standpoint, if we confess him, we are spirit beings, and we must worship him only in spirit and in truth. Anything else is will worship. Therefore, from our standpoint, every situation, every stimulus that we confront is a spirit. Something that is going to reveal something. You understand me? This is big time. I mean, it's where you live. It's in your closet now. I'm meddling. Well, let me personalize this, because that's what's on my mind. I'm in love with Tyra. Right? Everybody agree to that?
Amen.
Hopefully Tyra's in love with me. But if my condition, my life, is based on something that's going to happen in the future, then I'm believing the wrong spirit. I.e., if only we were married, then I would be satisfied or complete. That is believing a wrong spirit. So I must then, by this, test the spirit. If in Harry's case, we've got all kinds of little stuff going on. We've got books that may come out. We've got television shows that may come out. We've got congressional testimony. We've got talk shows. And Harry's all, you know, Harry gets all excited about that stuff. But if Harry says in any way to himself, in his own closet, that when this and so or thus and so happens, then I will have peace or rest or joy or contentment or anything, then he is believing the wrong spirit.
So in the case of you and Tyra, what's the balance here, or how does it work, the wanting to be married?
Well, the wanting to be married is the realization that it can't get it. I don't need it to be any better than it is now. I don't need our relationship to be any better than it is now, except when she becomes a fucking Pharisee, but that doesn't happen too often. But I don't need our relationship to be any better than it is now for me to be content and at peace.
That's what Paul was talking about.
Right.
Plus a desire can be in the present.
Right.
Yeah, you just want what you want.
Yeah, I mean, but my point is I'm not basing my contentment, happiness, peace, joy on something that might be.
Right.
Yeah.
So any spirit that smacks of the future
or the past.
Or the past is a false spirit.
That's why Harry's continual in the past, because now we speak it gone, his continual elevation of a past assumed, and I say assumed because he has a very great selective memory, a past assumed relationship with a woman, i.e. his former wife Barbara, then he is not defining that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is saying that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Because he is the desired one, no matter what you put on the desire. I don't care if you're hornier in hell. There is only one source of all desire. And if he is come in the flesh, then you are at peace at this instant. Not looking to something that took place in the past, or anticipating with any kind of anxiousness or thinking that it'll solve your problems. I don't have any illusions that if Tyra and I get married, or when we get married, that it'll solve our problems.
Or bring completion.
That's why I love it, what thing she said once. You know, she loves God and I was just the icing in the cake. You know, if that continues, and I pray it will, and I believe it will, then we will have one of the most knocked out marriages the world has ever seen. But if I base my hope and contentment on something that isn't at present, then I am guilty of using spiritual usury. And therefore, and that's why usury was so against the law. Please, this is big time. Do you understand, Tyra? You're not being mad at me.
I'm not being what?
You look like you. Are you somewhere else?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. There is no condition that isn't a spirit. And therefore, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, the word many there is a Greek word, which it, in fact it says 99.9999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 witch. It's the Word made flesh. That's what knowing means. Word made flesh. That's why knowing and faith are the same thing in the Spirit. Blind faith is stupidity. Blind faith is blasphemy, in fact. Blind faith is what religion teaches you, and all that religion is capable of setting before you as a goal is to be some kind of angelic being that's sexless, that's a eunuch, that's without life, that's without spirit. That's what they try to create. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Again, the word Jesus Christ is a name for that which is portrayed in all myth and desire. He is the coma, the desired. Therefore, at this instant, the desire of my heart is fulfilled. That's why the scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desire of your heart. Got it? It's real important. Now, okay, well, what happens if you're in the condition? Okay, I honestly don't feel complete at this moment. That's not an indicator that you should try to get complete. That's an indicator that you should kill the motherfucker. You got it?
Yeah. Honestly.
Die.
Honestly kill.
Now, for those of you who are listening on the tape, that was the only word that I could think of that expressed that you need to kill a son of a bitch.
I guess it was the only word.
In other words, you don't give the corpse life by desiring a change in the condition. You don't commit necrophilia. You repent. You return from the dead. That's why. Wait until you read this testimony. I mean, I say the most outlandish things that I can't imagine. I read that shit after I've read it, and that's why I don't listen to tapes. I mean, I'm going to have to read what I just said a little while. That's going to scare the shit out of me. Because it's going to be read in Congress of the United States. I mean, those are the big guys. We're talking, you know, Rick Beamer has a big guy that sort of is the big guy on his television show. I mean, we're talking the big guys here.
Really powerful. These are the guys that are bigger than my big guys.
These are the guys that can cause us more trouble than you've ever dreamed of having. By putting hints in the SEC, or putting hints at the IRS, or putting hints at anything. They can, by a telephone call, cause every one of you to be audited every year from now on.
Hey, be my guest. Hey. Oh, we're scared.
You see why we must have nothing in order to be what it is that we are about?
Yeah.
I don't care if you have stuff, but I care whether you give that stuff breath. Whether you give that stuff breath over life. Because then you're not saying that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. You're saying he did come, and oh shit, I hope he comes. You got it?
Yeah.
I want you to go, and this is the kind of stuff that'll free your closets. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, test them, to see whether they are of God. Because many false prophets, false teachers, false impulses, false... You know who the biggest ones are? It's that board of elders in your mind. I mean, it took me 5 years to kill those mothers. I mean, you think I didn't have any. Because I didn't meet you until after I lost most of them. Every once in a while, one of them sticks his head back up. You got all those elders, the ancient ones, that are sitting in your mind. They're like a tribunal, a star chamber, that oversees your every action.
They're defining Messiah.
Hmm?
They're defining Messiah.
Yeah. And they're saying to you, they're always saying to you, he did come in the flesh and he will come in the flesh. They can never say to you, he is coming in the flesh. The way you kill those mothers, remember, this is an internal warfare. It's not anything, who cares what's out there. The way you kill them, how do you kill them? The way you kill them is to see through them. Look at what Isaiah talked about. Isaiah 26. Verse 11. Isaiah 26, verse 11. You got it? Listen to this. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up. Hallelujah. God doesn't care anything about you raising your hands. You know, he wants you to see that his are raised. And when he raises his hand, that means it's over. Doesn't mean he wants to ask a question or go to the bathroom. When God raises his hand in the Spirit, that's when time is over. Except he's always had it raised. All he's waiting for is to you to see that it's raised. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see. But they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemy shall deliver them. Devour them, excuse me. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. So you can't regret anything. He did it all. O Lord our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us. And these are the Sanhedrin, the wickeds, the ancients of Israel, because that's all we are, that are in Ezekiel 8, that are hanging back there. Every man with his censer in his hand. In other words, they're all trying to get you to pray just like they did. All trying to get you to illegally take over the job of the high priest. Other lords besides thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. Now that's an incredible thing. What the hell does that mean? By thee only will we make mention of thy name. That means that we have stopped putting the name of God on all those guys. You got it? Now, some of you have got a few names of God that are still, I mean, have got the name of God and are still in a few of those guys. You think it's God and it's what you call your conscience talking to you. Because God's name is on that guy. It must be my conscience. It must be something of value. So that's why I listen to in the closet when that little idiot starts to accuse me. I believe him. Because he's got God's name on it. But his glory will he not share with another. Not some stupid ghost in your background. It's just one of these little creepy crawly things that's resurrected himself in the guise of you or the elder in you. They are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and now made all their memory even to perish. Got it?
I don't know why, but thinking about what a temptation it must have been for Christ when he went into Jerusalem. I mean, and he knew what was going on. He saw the silliness of the Sanhedrin. He knew the hypocrisy of the high priest and how easy it would have been for him to work miracles, speak wisdom, and take over and clean it up.
He was born to die. He's born to drink the cup. Okay, now, remember throughout the scriptures and throughout the ancient, no matter whether or not you like this or not, there's always this opposition going on. To the left is always away from God. To the right is always towards God. That's the structure, of the, as we saw, the structure of the pyramid, the structure of the temple, the structure of the tabernacle in the wilderness, on and on. To the east is always away from God. I mean, excuse me. Yeah, that's right. To the east is always away from God. To the west is always towards God. That's why migrations have always been towards the west. Do you know of any place in the world where migrations went east? Maybe, but I don't know. It doesn't matter. And that's why everything, if it wasn't for this right, left, east, west opposition thing, there could be no sustaining of a universe. You couldn't move a muscle because there is no opposition. The earth would just take off in space. It couldn't exist. In other words, the Word could not have been made flesh without the opposition. Do you understand me? So that's why we see God is all and in all. There's a piece in that hostage book that John wrote, but it was because of what. But I was in this church in Milano that Michelangelo designed. And it's got all these great mosaics of stained glass. And when it's cloudy out, it just looks like a bunch of dumb colored glass. It didn't look anything. It was just boring. You know, I could probably do it. Fix something. Let them together. I could do something like it. A miracle happens. Downright miracle. When the sun is at the right angle, it shines through that glass. And all of a sudden, a mystery unfolds. And you see Christ in every one of his aspects. But you see, it only has meaning when you see through it, to see the light. And that's why I keep telling you, you must see through everything to see that the desired one is come now. That's why I'm such a fanatic about to you that it's finished. Everything else is a lie. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now, we must see this whole thing. If we just look at this as, okay, we're studying the original meaning of the signs of the zodiac. Oh boy, that's neat. That's kind of fun. We can poke fun of things. Doesn't mean a diddly squat unless you see it as the internalized thing. Again, as the metaphor, as for life. Okay? You must see it internalized, the cross, the victor. And finally you come to that one single statement. For me to live is Christ. Everywhere, always. No separation ever again possible. Let's take a break. We're not taking a break. Take it, big guy. I don't know why I did that, but it's just, I did it.